want to say, this call to rejoice, it's important that we understand a little bit about what's being said and what's not being said when it comes to this word rejoice. Because I'm going to say that in any gathering of human beings, not all of us feel like rejoicing. And there may be good reasons for it. Maybe someone here just recently lost a loved one. Maybe someone else is struggling with finances right now or lost a job. Maybe someone's just, you got that situation, you're going through, right? And for you to come to church and for me to stand up in front of you and say, rejoice! Well, that can almost seem cruel, right? And so the question is, when the church, and in this case the scriptures, tell us to rejoice, what are we being invited to do and to receive? And what are we not? Well, first of all, both these Sundays are named for scripture passages, you know. So today's scripture passage says, Gaudete in Domino, rejoice in the Lord. And in Lent, Letare, O Jerusalem, rejoice, O Jerusalem. So these words come to us from the Bible. So when the Bible says rejoice, first of all, let's be clear what is not being said. We in the modern world tend to hear the word joy only as an emotional thing. And so we think of, ooh, let's get happy. Happy, 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 happiness is for you, right? All right. I don't dance. And now you know why. But we tend to think of it as an emotional thing in the modern age. But in the Bible, the Greek word here that's being translated rejoice is chairite, which I don't know if you can hear because you don't speak Greek. I know you can't hear, but the word charis is at the heart of it. And charis is the word for grace, And so chairite means receive a gift from God to be filled with joy. So first of all, it's not our work to rejoice. It's God's work that we want to be open to and lay hold of. So you are not being told today, if you come here with sorrow or grief, that, well, get over that and just be happy and stir yourself up and let's have a good chortle and some jokes and let's just sort of, you know, be happy, right? You're not being told to do it by yourself. You're being invited by God to lay hold of a work of God's Spirit in you that needs to grow and deepen as you make your journey. So let me offer to you a little bit of a definition of this Greek word, chairite, which is translated for us in English, rejoice. Chairite refers to a stable, serene, and confident joy that God works in the heart of a believer who makes the journey. So let me say it again, because all those words are important. First of all, it's stable. You hear the word motion in emotion? It's something that goes on through you and you have a lot of ups and downs. We're not talking here about a simple emotional joy. It is a stable, serene, not just giddy and, you know, that kind of stuff, because that goes away in a second, right? You can only laugh for so long and then you start to hurt, right? Okay. It's a stable, serene, confident joy. And the confidence comes from knowing who God is and what He's doing in my life. And that even if there's ups and downs in life, I know that God is at work and He's up to something good. So today, there is this call for us to lay hold of a joy that is stable, serene, and confident because it is a work of God in our heart if we make the journey of faith. Now, the other thing I want to say to you is I'm going to preach out of the second reading today because Paul says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. And so, but he doesn't just say rejoice. He actually gives us, the Holy Spirit through him, actually gives us some things to put in place so that this joy really does come to us. He gives us, if you will, I'm going to argue with you, three fundamental things that if we will yield to them and let the Lord go to work, this joy will be in us and it will grow deeper and deeper. So we're going to look now at those three things. But maybe to leave you with an image before we go into the three things about this joy. Think of an ocean. Now, young people, I don't know if you know this or not, but those of us who have studied a little bit about the ocean and oceanography know that, let's just say there's a hurricane blowing on the surface of the ocean, and the waves are going like this on the surface. But if you go down about 20 or 30 feet, you never know there's a hurricane blowing up there. It's calm. Currents are pretty much the way they always are, and so the surface may be all choppy and filled with waves and winds and all sorts of stuff, but you go down a little deeper, and it's very calm. And you'd say, you talk to the fish about the hurricane, they say, what hurricane? Now, that's an image for our soul, that increasingly by this gift of joy, there may be storms on the surface of our life, but increasingly in our life, there is a place deeper and at the center of our heart that we can go and find a stable, serene, and confident joy that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. And that's the gift that's being spoken about today, not just some surface, giddy, emotional joy. Are we clear on that? Ask God for this gift. Lay hold of this gift. It is His gift to you. It is not your accomplishment. However, there are some things that we can do to dispose ourselves to receive the gift. And so St. Paul doesn't just say rejoice, but he gives us certain prescriptions that will help us. So the first prescription that he gives is that we should persevere in praise. To persevere in praise. Now, young people, in case some of you younger ones don't know, to persevere means to do something consistently. Not just once and every now and again, but to consistently praise God and pray. So, to persevere in prayer and praise. The text says, he says, rejoice always. Then he says, pray without ceasing. And in all circumstances, give thanks. For this is the will for you in Christ Jesus, and do not quench the Spirit. Pray always. Now, that doesn't mean stay in church all day, although if you want to, you can. But most of you have some other duties, amen? By the way, the church is now open during the day for prayer. Spread the word, okay? From 8 in the morning till 8 in the evening, you can always come in this church and pray. Spread the word. But Paul doesn't have in mind here simply sit in a church all day, but this, God wants to give you and me a gift called the normal Christian life. And what's the normal Christian life? The normal Christian life is to be in living, conscious contact with God all throughout the day. You see, one of the things, because our minds are very weak, we can go for days, we can go for hours or days sometimes and barely think much about God. We're all bent over worrying about what do people think of me? What does the boss think? How will I pay this bill? And we're thinking about anything but God. And I'm going to just tell you, if you think you're going to have joy or peace and hardly ever think of God, you got another thing coming. This world will beat you up with one anxiety after another after another. You're not pretty enough. You don't have the right kind of house. You don't drive the right kind of car. You have to bills you gotta pay. You're basically gonna be just constantly hit with one crisis, one thing after another from this world. And if you're not thinking about God, you're gonna go crazy. You are not gonna have joy, and you're not gonna have serenity. And so, to lay hold and say, Lord, the normal life is for me to have my mind stayed on you. I woke up this morning with my mind, and it was stayed on Jesus. And so again, that gift, to first of all, pray unceasingly, to Pray always, as he says. Now, again, it doesn't simply mean praying like this, but being consciously aware of God's presence in my life throughout my day, in the beauty of creation, in the beauty and even challenges of human beings I'm encountering, and in all the events of my day, just aware that God is at work and he is present and active. So the second thing this text says in terms of our prayer is that not only should we pray without ceasing, but that in all circumstances we give thanks. Now listen, prayer is a discipline of the mind to cultivate, and so is gratitude. So is gratitude. Once again, our minds are weak, and we tend, because our minds are fallen, to be negative. I tell you, every day, 10 trillion things go right, and about a half a dozen things go wrong. We've talked about this before. I won't develop it with you, but brothers and sisters, how unfair that is to God when 10 trillion things go right every day, and then six or seven things go wrong, like, oh. Brothers and sisters, dedicate your mind to gratitude. Every day, just spend some time saying, a few things didn't go right my way today, that's all right. Lord, you've been awful good to me. From the big stuff all the way out into the cosmos, all the way down to the smallest functioning of every cell of my body, everything's working just fine. And a few things went wrong, but that's all right, Lord. Those are good odds. Again, be careful, because our minds, which are fallen and weak, will tend to focus on what is negative and what seems to threaten us or cause us fear. And brothers and sisters, discipline your mind. Don't just let anything go on in there, but rebuke some of those things and say, you know, I'm being negative, but God's been too good for me to have me be negative. Church, I'm going to just say it. God's been good to me. Anyone else a witness in this church? God's been good to me. And not only has he been good to me, but even when I didn't think he was being good to me, he was still being good to me. Because I just looked it up in my Bible today in Romans 8 just to make sure the verse hadn't gone away or been blotted out. And it's still there, that all things work together for my good if I love and trust the Lord. So that as I look back over my life and I think a few things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed, and I've got a testimony that even in the crosses and the difficulties of my life, God only permitted them to bring about something greater. I am not just the product of the good things in my life, I'm a product of the tough things in my life. And there is a test in every testimony. And we start to lay hold of this fact that even in the challenges and the painful things of life are hidden gifts, gifts in strange packages. Suffering produces glory. And Jesus says, you see, I went through that, but now look at me. I'm at the Father's right hand in glory. And if you will take your path, you too will find your way to glory. But again, you got to discipline your mind. See, how are we going to have this joy that the Lord wants to give us if we're allowing in our mind to go on unchecked all these negative, fearful thoughts that are not rooted in the bigger reality that most things are going just fine? And that even if there are some challenges, God's got a way of making a way out of no way, and I'm a witness. Your mind can get carried away in a minute if you don't discipline it. Are you praying with me? So again, the first, if you will, prescription for this joy is to, again, simply just to use my summary, is to persevere in prayer and praise. Stay praying. Allow the presence of the Lord to be active in your mind and allow yourself to be grateful in every circumstance. Even if it doesn't feel like a blessing, to know that God can turn it into a blessing and just say, thank you, Lord, for all your gifts, even the gifts that came in strange packages. And again, this is the first recipe. Now, if you don't have this going on in your mind, good luck at finding serenity, and good luck at finding finding joy. Because, you know, you're going to need luck because you don't got grace. I'd rather have grace. Luck is a gamble, but grace is a gift. So stay persevering in prayer and praise. Prescription number one, to have this joy, to lay hold of this stable, serene, confident joy, which is a work of the Holy Spirit in you. Second prescription, perspective through prophecy. Simply says this, do not despise prophetic utterances, but test everything by them and retain what is good. Okay, first of all, do not despise prophetic utterances. What is meant by prophetic utterances? Well, in first and foremost, it is God's word in Scripture. Are you praying with me? Now, don't despise it. There are a lot of folks that say today, oh, look, the Bible's out of date. It's from an old era. We've come a long way. We have science. We have technology. Away with all that old mythological stuff. Are you praying with me? People talk like that today. Don't you talk like that. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Have a hunger for God's word. Have a hunger for God's word. Have a hunger for God's word. And do not despise prophetic utterances. And then beyond that, there's the teachings of the church, the catechism, the teachings of the liturgy. And then there are good, holy men and women, the lives of the saints on these walls, saints that are still with us, who have gained wisdom and have important things to say to us. Don't despise prophetic utterances. In other words, let the word of God become increasingly the way you think and you see everything. Now, church, again, most Christians get this thing backwards today. So there is this attitude, well, you come into the church and you hear, you know, you hear something, and I don't know about that, because you're putting God's word on trial by the world instead of putting the world on trial by God's word. Because St. Paul says, have this word in your heart and in your mind. Do not despise it and test everything by it. The word of God comes first, and every other thing in your life is tested by it. Most people get it backwards. And you know it's true. Now, I don't know about that. See? What's coming first? The world and your opinion instead of God's truth. Now, again, good luck on having any serenity or joy in your life if you're going on the stinking thinking of the world. The world has priorities that will send you down rabbit holes, put you up dead ends, and confuse you incessantly if you're not careful. Test everything by the word of God and live according to it, and you will begin to lay hold of this gift of serene, confident, and stable joy that God wants to give you. But if you're going to go on living by a different set of priorities, then God's good luck on finding it. Now, here too, I'm just going to say that there is, again, this need that we have to just grow more richly and more deeply in God's word. And there's a lot of opportunities to do it. First of all, just coming to church on Sunday. What are we doing right now? We're looking at what God's word teaches us about how to find something we all desire, which is that deep, serene, confident joy that's stable, so that we're not just in this constant emotional roller coaster that this world dishes out. Are you praying with me, church? And the word of God is teaching us. And if we will listen and even begin to apply, we're going to see some fruits. But if we're not and we're just taking signals from the world, we're going to be going crazy. The world will fill you and me with lots of contradictory and confusing things. And we will not have serenity or peace that way. Because what's popular today is out of fashion and moral. You're just being jerked around, pardon the expression, just jerked around by the world. Now we all got to go out and buy a brown suit. Brown suits, how passe. Blue suits, you know? You got to wear your hair this way, and then you got to wear your hair that way, and then you got to, well, you get the idea. You're going to be on a treadmill. You're going to be heading down endless rabbit holes and dead ends, and your credit card's going to pile up. And that is not a recipe for serenity. Now, I don't want to say to you that everything in this world is bad and stupid and evil. I'm not saying that. I am saying to you what Paul is. Test everything by the Word of God. There has to come a moment in our life when we're looking at certain things that we see on the television or in the music and all that stuff and saying, that is not the mind of God. And yet too many of us are like, well, I don't know, you know, like everybody's sort of saying that's the thing and everybody's sort of doing it and, you know, and why not go with it? Test it. Don't just go with it. Children, young people, please. Don't just listen to what some musician is saying, and don't just listen to what you heard some basketball star say, or don't just listen to the latest thing you saw on the internet. Test it. Is that the mind of God or not? Test it. I promise you, the only way to find this serene, confident joy is to be deeply rooted in the teachings of God, in the priority of God, in the heart and the mind of God. God knows how we're made, and He commands us and teaches us because He knows what will be for our benefit. And sometimes, young people, the harder thing is the better thing. Instant gratification often means the headache later. But sometimes when we postpone and we learn how to postpone certain things, the joy at the end is much greater. You know, the world says, first the feast, then the hangover. The Lord says, first the fast, and then you really enjoy the feast. Learn to discipline. And when Sabbath day comes, enjoy your blessings from hard work. The world says, nah, just party now, and tomorrow the headache, and also the bill. Okay. So the first two prescriptions are in. How are we going to lay hold of this joy that the Lord is offering us? Step one, persevere in prayer and praise. Just discipline your mind to just be praying always, increasingly aware of God's presence, and deeply, deeply grateful. And every time somebody says, how you doing? Just say, I'm pretty well blessed for a sinner. That's a form of gratitude, isn't it? God's been awfully good to me. Thank you, Lord. So that's step one, persevere in prayer and praise. Step two, if you will, simply says that have perspective through prophecy. See the world and what's going on in your life through the Word of God and test everything by it. And again, this begins to lay that foundation for the joy and the serenity that God wants to give. And finally then, there is this magnificent ending of the letter today. Progress toward perfection. He simply says, the Holy Spirit through Paul, refrain from every kind of evil, and may the Lord God make you perfectly holy, entirely spirit, soul, and body. Now, there is just nothing more deadly to the joy that God wants to give us than sin. Than sin. Sin. Again, refrain from every kind of evil. Now again, young people, the world's lying to you. The world is saying, do it because it's pleasurable. Do it because it's fun. Do it because everybody else is doing it. But I'm telling you, the bill comes tomorrow. The bill comes tomorrow. Sometimes what God says is harder at first, but the payoff comes later. And so it is that if you can learn some degree of self-discipline and not just simply yielding to craven pleasures. Craven pleasures just means pleasures that are right now in the moment. Let's get drunk and go crazy. All right. And then get arrested and wake up in jail. Right? You have fun right now and trouble tomorrow. Or you can make a few sacrifices and moderate things now, and the joys and the blessings of moderation come later. But pay attention, refrain from every kind of evil. The Lord doesn't want to just give you a momentary, you know, high with drugs or alcohol or some other thing. The Lord wants to give you serene, stable, deep, and confident joy. A joy that lasts, that doesn't just go away when the sun rises. And so the Lord says, refrain from every kind of evil, especially that evil that just says, Have your joy now. Eat dessert first, because tomorrow we die. Well, don't count on that. You're going to have to pay. You might not die tomorrow, and the bill will come due. And even if you do die, the bill will come due. It catches you after death, too, I'm going to promise. That's what the Lord says, right? Brethren, a basic call today to rejoice. But remember, not just silly, emotional, giddy joy, but lay hold of this gift that God wants to give you, this gift of deep, serene, confident, stable joy, which is a work of God in you as you make this journey of faith. And on that way, Paul is just giving us some advice that part of living and making this walk of faith is persevering in prayer and praise, is not despising prophetic utterances, but if you will, gaining perspective in our life, seeing what our life is really about through the Word of God and testing everything by it. And then because of that, refraining from every kind of evil. That is to say, making progress toward perfection. And I'm just going to say that as I've made this journey, I've tried to follow some of this, not perfectly, but I've done my best. I want you to know, I'm more joyful today than when I was younger. I'm more confident. I'm more serene. I'm more stable. There's a place that I can go. Increasingly, I'm less obsessed and concerned about the ripples on the edge or the waves on the surface of my life. And I can go to a deeper place, that deeper place where I find God. There's a beautiful old song that just says that within our darkest night, you kindle a fire that never dies away. Increasingly, I can go to that center place, that little place where I just spend and I find God there. I'm not saying I'm fully perfected in this yet. I'm just going to say God's word is true. God can give us this gift, and he will give it. All we got to just say is, Lord, do it, do it. And the Lord will say, all right, all right. Well, then cooperate with me by persevering in prayer and praise. Cooperate with me by attaining perspective through my prophecies, scripture. And lay hold of it also, again, by refraining from every kind of evil in your life, by making progress toward perfection. Oh, church, beautiful old song that Kirk Franklin wrote speaks of this joy. And I love the wording of the song because it talks about more than that, just a giddy, emotional, surface joy. And here's what the song says, and you know it well. Joy, 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 joy. Down in my soul, joy, joy, soul-saving joy, joy, down in my soul, deep down in my soul, where the world can't get to it, because the world didn't give this joy, and the world can't take it away. Oh, joy, joy, soul-saving joy, down, deep down in my heart and in my soul. Amen.